This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
More jobs being created.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. At first glance, adding 290,000 jobs in a month is something we were wishing for quite some time. According to the Labor Department, that's exactly what we got in April, except the unemployment rate actually rose 0.2% to 9.9%. More on unemployment irony in just a moment. First, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now for a change. The S&P up about 0.25%, the NASDAQ 0.1%. The Dow higher now by 27 points, 10,547. European markets lower. French shares off by more than 2% right now. Actually, about a percent and three quarters. And today, Asian shares tanked. The Nikkei plunged 3%. Again, second day in a row for the Nikkei, the big loss there. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live from New York this morning. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So, all right, unemployment numbers, more hiring, but we also have this unemployment rate that's up a couple of tenths of a percent. What's the takeaway there?
You know, honestly, these are unambiguously good numbers. The only reason the unemployment rate rose is that people are feeling more optimistic. 800,000 people who had become so discouraged they weren't even looking for work came back into the labor force. So, you know, there's job growth in almost every industry.
So wait, the optimism actually caused the unemployment rate to rise.
That's exactly right. And the reason is the government doesn't count you as unemployed unless you're actually out there interviewing. And people had become so discouraged they stopped looking. And that made unemployment, on paper anyway, go down.
We've been hearing, Chris, about the census hiring, the United States Census for 2010. Does that mean this wasn't a big deal?
Well, yeah. You know, according to the Census Bureau, they've now hired 600,000 temporary workers. But there were only 60,000 of those who showed up in these numbers. Private payrolls were up 231,000. Nobody expected that kind of strength. So again, even with the census workers taken out, these numbers better than expected.
Hey, let's go back yesterday between 2:40 and 3 o'clock New York time. What was going through your mind when the Dow was whipsawing back and forth?
Abject panic, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And thankfully, there wasn't any time to think, because if I had, I might have reacted. And I'm just, thankful there wasn't time to sell at the bottom there.
Chris Lowe,
thanks.
Yeah, it was a wild ride, and we're all sort of recuperating. Chris Lowe, thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Yesterday's big roller coaster ride, of course, has a lot of people asking, what happened? Was it simply the problems in Greece? Was it a trader who hit the wrong key? Or was it a byproduct of high-frequency computer trading, where buyers sat on their hands while the market went haywire? Professor Vasant Dar teaches at New York University's Stern School of Business. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us what high-frequency trading is for people who really, you know, don't keep a close eye on the markets.
Well, high-frequency trading is simply the rapid execution of trades where people have very short holding periods, and the motivation is to take very little risk. That's why high-frequency trading has become really popular. It's grown because if you can make money by taking very little risk, well, that's very appealing.
That's pretty much the name of the game, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Some blame this glitch that there was a mistake between someone typing in B for billion instead of M for million, and others blame this high-frequency computerized trading. What do you think?
No one's really come up with an explanation for what happened yesterday. There's rumors that it was a fat finger error, but no one's actually said, yeah, it was us. You know, I think high-frequency trading is really here to stay, whether you want to blame it or not. It's certainly true that precipitous drops like this can be caused by programs that are set up to go off and move the market pretty significantly. But the fact is that the same process can happen even if people are doing it.
Well, you must admit, though, humans can't trade as quickly as a computer, though.
Humans can press the button pretty quickly as well. You know, when you're in this sort of panic situation where no one knows what's going on.
Professor Vasant Dhar from New York University's Stern School of Business. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
By the way, as officials try to figure out what happened, many of the wild trades have already been canceled by the exchanges. The Securities and Exchange Commission and the Commodities Regulator are investigating as well. Even Congress is planning hearings to investigate yesterday's big fluctuation. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, May 7th, 2010, at marketplace.org. In Britain, no party has enough seats in Parliament to form a government after voters went to the polls there. And investors, well, they're not amused. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The election is over. Now the horse trading has begun. No party has won overall control of Parliament, so at least two parties will have to form a coalition or some other kind of alliance in order to govern. Investors have been dumping the British pound. They fear the next government won't be strong enough to tackle Britain's huge budget deficit. Matthew Taylor was an advisor to the former Prime Minister Tony Blair. He says none of the parties has spelled out how deep they'll have to cut.
The one thing we know about all the parties is they haven't got a mandate for the things that they actually have to do, particularly in relation to the public sector deficit, because none of the parties told us the truth about what they were going to have to do.
But the most immediate worry for investors is how long the political vacuum will go on, how long before Britain knows who will lead the country. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Parliament in Greece has voted on drastic cuts to bring that nation's debt under control. Pay and retirement cuts and a big sales tax increase part of that plan. And the protests still going on in Athens. There's a vote in Germany today in Berlin on approving their part of a $140 billion Greek bailout package. The Germans are contributing a lion's share to that rescue. But the timing is bad for Chancellor Angela Merkel. There is an important state election this weekend, and her party could pay a big price for Greece's financial woes. From Berlin, reporter Kyle James reports.
Angela Merkel had a tough job this week, trying to sell the Germans on the necessity of the Greek rescue plan.
Es geht nicht mehr und nicht weniger.
It's about nothing less than the very future of Europe and the future of Germany in Europe, she said in a speech to Parliament. But the majority of Germans oppose the bailout, and Merkel's party could suffer in Sunday's vote in North Rhine-Westphalia, Germany's most populous state. Gabi Schulten is a voter there.
When some other EU country gets in trouble, the government has money to help. But when our own towns need money, they say there isn't any. Something's not right.
To avoid a public backlash, Merkel had tried to delay the Greek bailout until after these elections. But political scientist Gero Neugebauer says that hurt her reputation. Now voters see her as a big spender, or indecisive, or both.
They are puzzled, irritated, and they are longing for political leadership.
If Merkel's party loses this weekend, she also loses control of the upper house of parliament. That could make governing and her plans to reform Germany's tax and health systems a lot harder. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
As we talked about, the government came out with its employment report today, and the feds have hired more than 600,000 census takers to go door to door. Those jobs, which can be part or full time, pay around $15 an hour. And they're not just for people who have been unemployed. Many already have day jobs. From Portland, Oregon, we have this snapshot of one store owner who's juggling census taking and working behind the cash register.
My name is Reese Prouty, and my business is called 8 Women. It's a gift lingerie shop. Being my own boss, I get to make my own hours. So if something that's going to pay me more is going on, I have a permanent note for the door that says, sorry if I missed you, but I've got a paying job today. For the census, those people who did not send in their form are now going to see many of us coming and knocking on the doors. And for me, it's fairly easy to stick it in with running my shop. We are to leave a notice of visit, which tells them a number where they can reach us. The other day, I actually had somebody call while I was in the middle of a sale, and the woman was quite okay with hanging out, because once I've got them on the phone, I don't want to let them go.
That was Portland gift shop owner and temporary census worker Reese Prouty. And we thank Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman for putting that audio postcard together for us. You may think the traditional start of summer is Memorial Day weekend, but the Hollywood movie industry begs to differ. Their summer starts today with the release of Iron Man 2, the first big-budget movie to hit the screens this season. Jill Barshay filed this report.
I am Iron Man. The suit and I are one.
Iron Man 2 is one of 11 sequels or remakes to come out this summer. There's Shrek Forever After, Toy Story 3, even The Karate Kid.
It's a trend that just keeps coming and coming.
That's Carl Diorio with The Hollywood Reporter.
Hollywood studios do like sure bets, particularly on $200 million investments.
He says studios are betting heavily on international markets this year. They now make up 60% of ticket sales. And there's an added incentive to get movies overseas early.
Those moviegoers will be basically unavailable once the Soccer World Cup commences in mid-June.
The World Cup has pushed Paramount to do something extremely unusual. Normally, movies are released in the U.S. first. But Paramount decided to release Iron Man 2 to 53 foreign countries a full week ago. I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
And finally, researchers now say coffee can be good for some people who have had heart attacks. European study of more than 350 patients shows those with normal blood pressure drinking 1 or 2 cups of coffee a day are less likely to develop a condition that could lead to heart failure. Did I mention the study was from Greece? Yeah, after the debt crisis there and violent protests in the streets, oh, I recommend decaf. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.